Some good news for working moms here in Minnesota and Wisconsin, that the two states rank right near the top in a survey put together by Wallet Hub. 2023's best and worst states for working moms. And the good news is Minnesota is right there. And joining us tonight on the program is Kate Peruzchek, Deputy Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry. Kate, good to visit with you. Thanks for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
And it is good news. I guess without even reading the article, I would assume that of all the states in the union, Minnesota would be top 10. And sure enough, it's there.
And I expect we're only going to grow in that ranking in the years to come.
Yeah, and there are a number of factors that go into this. I remember my wife always worked. My mom worked all the way through when my brothers and I were growing up. So she was a working mom. My wife was a working mom. And daycare is a big part of the equation, isn't it? I mean, let's face it. That's number one.
Yep. Having access to affordable child care is really key. The affordable part is what's needed for Minnesota working moms.
Yeah, and what can government's role be in all of that? Because I work full-time in the printing business, and as a matter of fact, one of the women just had a child not long ago and came back to work, and I was part of a conversation about daycare, and I was blown away at the cost of daycare. I'm a little bit out of touch.
Really,
my kids are grown, but it is unbelievable.
It really is. It really is. And I think, you know, affordable child care has been a priority for Governor Walz and the Walz administration. So there have been a number of proposals to help, you know, grow child care centers throughout the state. There's shortages, particularly in greater Minnesota, and also support families directly so that they can afford child care, such as through early learning scholarships, which helps, you know, lower income families be able to afford child care.
Yeah,
and there's other initiatives like universal pre-K and initiatives like that too. So once kids are older, they could, you know, go to pre-K instead.
Yeah.
Pay less or pay nothing at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I would also think a part of that is creating an environment that encourages people to get into the daycare business, if you will, because we were fortunate enough to have a family friend when our daughters were young. We were able to take the girls to a family friend, and she had a daycare business, and it worked out great. It was still expensive, but it was a family friend. It was familiar. It was trusted. Just flat-out access to daycare, I would assume, can be an issue here in the cities and all around the state.
Definitely. There are shortages all around, but to your point, attracting people to that type of work is hard because it's not well-paid either. That's the problem, too. Like, we're trying to support mothers and families on the one hand to be able to afford what daycare is costs, but those centers aren't really able to afford to pay their workers. So it's kind of it's a tough cycle. There's so many different types of care too, family, friend, and neighbor, or center care, or family child care providers, and having a mix of those options available is really important to support working parents.
Yeah, and I think one of the perfect scenarios is, I know some of the larger employers have in-house daycare. What a great situation that is.
You know, absolutely. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah,
daycare right where you work.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some of those. Unfortunately, most folks are employed by small employers who don't have the resources. And that kind of gets back into, you know, going forward, what can the state do? You talked about the Walz administration. Wisconsin's doing some things very well. You know, what really works to make a great environment for women to not only pursue their careers, but also have access to daycare and properly take care of their children?
Right. I would say, and you may have heard, the biggest push right now is for paid family and medical leave so that, you know, working parents are able to take paid time off of work to care for a new baby or their own health such as your own serious health condition, or even to care for an aging loved one. Because specifically for women, working women, and a lot of the caregiving responsibilities fall on women. And so they have a difficult time exiting the workforce temporarily. And so sometimes they have to make the difficult choice of not working at all, leaving the labor force entirely. And so trying to find a way to support families through paid family and medical leave, I think, would be an enormous step forward for working parents in this state.
I think one of the concerns on the flip side is, can small businesses in particular, once again, the lion's share of people work for small businesses, can they afford that?
And it's a shared model, so employers and employees pay in a self-insurance model. And I think the big thing to remember, too, is no matter the size of your employer, every worker is going to need paid time off at some point. So we have to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah.
And hopefully, for small businesses, it's a retention issue, too, and loyalty and being able to maintain your workforce, too.
This list, you kind of look at this particular list, actually all the metrics used by Wallet Hub, Wisconsin finished slightly ahead of Minnesota. Minnesota, though, ranked number one in child care, number nine in professional opportunities, and then work-life balance, 16. That's the thing. And Jonathan and I opened the show talking about our moms, and my mom worked full time, and I take a step back and I think about what she did, full time as a nurse, and then taking care of three rowdy boys. My dad was in the mix as well, but it is quite a job, and for working moms and what they take on, all the support we can provide collectively is a big part of that.
Absolutely. And I think, too, like trying to make sure that we have opportunities for women to participate in and advance in high-wage, high-demand careers so that, we're also addressing the gender pay gap that has just persisted over time. Women on average make 81 cents for every dollar a man makes in Minnesota. So what efforts can we take to help get, more women into those high-wage, high-demand jobs, too?
And joining us on the program, Kate Peruzshek, Deputy Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry, on this Mother's Day. Once again, an annual study from the financial site Wallet Hub has Minnesota ranked sixth on the list of best states for working mothers. Wisconsin does get bragging rights. They rank slightly higher when all the metrics are taken into consideration. There's a lot of talk about what other countries do, and I'm sure in your job, there's models in Europe and other parts of the world where they're doing right by working moms. Talk a little bit about that and maybe where we can improve and what they're doing in other parts of the world to help working moms.
Well, I know we've discussed this a little bit, but, paid family and medical leave is key and important, a place where the United States is lagging very far behind. But I think in Minnesota, we have been innovative for a number of years now. I'm so proud to say that on Mother's Day 9 years ago, then Governor Dayton signed the Women's Economic Security Act into law here in the state. And that was a package of 14 bills designed to support women in the workplace. And we're continuing to make progress. So under Governor Walz's leadership, as of a year ago, women can now take breaks to express milk at work for their infants without losing pay. We're the third state in the nation now that provides that paid compensation time to take breaks to express milk at work. So we're really proud of that initiative as well. Just a couple examples.
Going forward, what can we do? What would continue to move this in a direction where that work-life balance is where it should be for moms?
I think continuing that focus on affordable, accessible, and possibly subsidized childcare, better jobs, quality public schools, Earn Sick and Safe Time would be another great initiative. I know something that's moving through the legislature right now, too, would be a state-administered retirement savings plan for workers who don't have a plan through their employer. So ensuring that working mothers and women have economic security throughout their lifetime. So if they need to take time off work to care for themselves, a new baby, a loved one, they're able to maintain their income and have, you know, retirement security down the line, too.
Well, Kate, good to visit with you today. We certainly appreciate your thoughts.
Absolutely. Thanks again for having me.
Kate Peruzshek, Deputy Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry. And you can go to Wallet Hub, check out those rankings. But it is really interesting. You look, number one, Massachusetts, number two, Rhode Island, then Connecticut. The District of Columbia, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Vermont, New Jersey, Maine, and Delaware all rank in the top 10 in these metrics. And as I brought up with Kate, there is that challenge because a lot of people were saying, well, I paid for a daycare, and that's true. My wife and I found a way to pay for daycare once upon a time. But as I heard a couple of weeks back, When a woman I work with during the week returned to work and what the daycare expense was, they had to make a difficult decision as a family on how they were going to be able to pay the bills. They both need to work. And in this circumstance, they both couldn't work first shift because they couldn't afford the daycare. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is they made a decision. So this person had to put in her notice, find a new job, and I can't remember. I believe it's second shift, not third shift. Third shift's tough. So dad works first shift. Mom works second shift so they can pay the bills. Now, I think you'd say, well, you know, everyone's got to make sacrifices. Both hardworking people. But they just can't flat out afford the daycare. Not going to name names, not important. The point being is that maybe as a society, we need to do more so these good, hardworking people can work for a shift, afford daycare, pay the bills, and be at home in the evening as a family. Just a thought.